Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
How long does it take to rebuild trust? Well, we're going to take a look at that question with my guests today, Alan and Polly Heller. We are discussing the subject of trust from their book titled Learning How to Trust Again. You know, as men, we tend to view trust one way, and women, especially our wives if we're married, view trust a much different way. It's important to respect that and not demand that the other person view life through your lens. I mean, they can. It's impossible. Both men and women have a different lens which they see things, especially if the trust has been broken with some form of sexual sin like pornography, an emotional affair, of course, adultery. And you know what? A big part of trust is our behavior. Does your behavior match your words? When trust is broken because of sexual sin, the spouse is so tired of hearing the words, "I'm sorry." They despise those two words because it's just talking. And our behavior, we have to think of it as a thermostat to the relationship, and we'll discuss that in this podcast as well. In today's podcast, we're going to discuss several things. Number one, when we understand sin, we understand God. And number two, how important is it to have a culture, a community of friends that you trust in confessing sin? Today's lesson is titled, The Time It Takes to Rebuild Trust. Let me ask you about that word sin, because for us to truly understand the sin element in our own sin nature and understand kind of where we are, how desperately wicked my own heart is, and then understanding the holiness of God, in today's age, especially when it comes to counseling, we don't like to talk about sin. We don't like that word. Mm-hmm. So you guys, when it comes to trust, let's talk that out a little bit here. What's your take on understanding sin? How important is that to understanding who God really is?
Well, I think it's really easy for us to downplay sin, or, you know, we have a very politically correct world that doesn't want to have anything negative and only the positive, but we firmly believe that we have to accept that we do sin because we have sin, and that is we're separated from God. That's what sin means, to be separated from God. Then we do the sins, these acts, and what I've found in counseling is it's an inside job. Mm-hmm. I need to go from the inside out rather than the outside in. Instead of just, although I will say, very practically speaking, there are sometimes people need to do behaviors that are right until they get their heart right. But most of the time, it's I need to get my heart right so I can do the behaviors that are right. And one of the things I encourage people to do is don't just keep concentrating on the sin. It's like I read in a book by Pete Gilquist a long time ago. He said, think of a red-faced monkey. Now I want you to stop thinking of a red-faced monkey. Don't, whatever you do, don't think of a red-faced monkey. Well, that's all you can think about.
Sure.
And so if we spend all our time thinking about what I don't want to do, then we're not going to get to where we want to go. And yet, if I don't acknowledge, and 1 John 1:9 says, if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me of all, not just some, all my sin. And so I think we need cultures in the church, cultures in our small groups, where it's okay to confess my sin, my separation from God, which I have started by doing certain things, but it's okay to share them here because nobody's going to come down on me because I've done that, but they want to help me confess and repent and then hopefully reconcile. And I think one of the things that goes on with trust and forgiveness, I tell people, you know, God says in Ephesians, you forgive others as I have forgiven you. That's a command. But the trust is built on behavioral things that you see this person do. So I will tell a wife that, you know, he's gone out on her and he's going to other women and he's going to prostitutes and stuff. And she goes, I think he's changed. I'm going, has anything in his behavior changed? No, but he says he's changed. And I'm going, well, let's look at his behavior. And if his behavior matches his words over time, then we'll start baby steps to believe him and do things that are not forcing the issue, but learning to get back so you can trust him. And, you know, that, as you know, that's a very difficult thing, I think, especially for the women, because their emotions and their thought life is so connected. Mark Gunger, who says it's like, you know, everything's connected to everything else and they remember everything. And Paulie can tell me what color my shirt was when I sinned against her in telling her the wrong thing to do or whatever from 30 years ago. And I'm going, I don't even know I had a shirt, you know. There's a need for them to learn the difference between trust and forgiveness. Trust. And even I can forgive, but I may not be able to reconcile. Based on what Scripture talks about is sin that is constant. It's a way of life. It's not just one action. I tell people it's important to look at the themes or the incidences that go on for weeks. That's what we need to look at, not just the one incident that happens. And people can learn to trust if they see over and over the right behavior, just like they learned to not trust because they kept seeing the wrong behavior.
Yeah. But would you guys agree with this, that I see trust as, it's like a thermostat to the marriage itself.
Mm.
If your behavior, and this is not a salvific issue we're talking right. about. This is not about salvation. This is about recovery. This is learning about trust. Mm. But the thermostat being that we have to do things to rebuild that trust.
Right.
And if it gets really cold in there, that means we're not really working. We're not doing the things that most of the time that your wife wants you to work on. Is that right? Is that correct?
Yeah. What do you think, hon? You're the wife.
Yeah, definitely. I think that we can see a chill. We can feel a chill in the air.
Or at least I can.
Well, what you might see is that I'm not ready to hop into bed. But what you don't see, what guys don't see, is the hurt, the little things usually that are indicators. Because for me, it takes a long time before I actually say something forthrightly, spell it out in words. There will be a lot of little shoulder shrugs, turning away, tone of voice, not engaging in conversation, not revealing what's going on inside. There's a lot of withholding. And a guy who's just all caught up in himself isn't even picking up on that.
Sure.
And a woman is like, I'm giving him the cold shoulder, and he's not even seeing it. You know, she can be sending out all kinds of hurt and wounded signals, and he's just going, I don't know what's gotten into her today. You know, why
we don't get it.
Why she's throwing the dishes.
We need a telephone pole, not a 2x4. Yeah.
But Alan, isn't it true that we as men, we don't understand if we're trying to rebuild trust and the trust was broken because of some type of sexual sin, whether it's pornography or even like an emotional affair at work or something like that. It takes, for whatever reason, a long time for us as men to understand how deeply those wounds truly run, number one. And then number two, how we haven't just sinned against our spouse in that, but what first and foremost, we sinned against God.
Right.
So trust is built over time. Obviously, we have to keep working on those things. So, Alan, tell me about the process then. How long does this stuff take to rebuild trust?
Yeah, I mean, I think with different people, different personalities, different trust levels with God and with other people, it's all different. One thing, though, I find totally consistent is that men think if they do the right thing in front of a counselor once, then that should be it.
I'm good. Yeah. I went one time.
She should be good. That's the other thing. And I'm just going, if you hit her with a baseball bat, there's triage. You're in the emergency room. Mm. You're in triage. You're in rehab. You're in physical therapy.
Yeah.
And then there's the healing. And so it just takes a lot longer. And I don't know how else to help men understand this, because I will tell them that and I'll give them all the illustrations and they'll come in and go, I got it. But why is she mad at me? I'm trying. I've done everything she asked me to do.
Did you catch that? Trust is lost when you hit someone with this kind of devastating news. It's like hitting someone with an emotional baseball bat. You've got to take them to the emergency room. And then after the initial triage of getting that person stable, then there's also rehab work to do, isn't there? We got to go through physical therapy. And all along the way, there's healing in this, because trust is messy. This is one of the many reasons that Jesus Christ came. He showed us how to live before he showed us how to die. His entire life exhibited trust in his Father. And we see this most clearly in the last hours of his life. He says, Father, if you're willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. But you know what? I want your will to be done, not mine. Jesus is saying, I don't want to do what you're asking me to do. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to go through with this. I don't want to be beaten. I don't want to be spit upon. I don't want to be humiliated. I don't want to take on the sin of the world. But Father, I want your will to be done more than my comfort. I want your will to be done regardless of what it cost me. And if you know the story of Jesus, you know it was his Father's will for him to be the subject of his Father's wrath. That's right. God the Father allowed his Son to be murdered because of your sexual sin, because of all of our sin. Well, we will continue our conversation with Alan and Polly Heller tomorrow as we take a look at the initial shock of when a husband shatters his wife's trust with the news of sexual sin. Lastly, I'm so excited to share with you that my new book is now available on Amazon.com, and it's available for pre-order. All you have to do is simply type the title in the search bar there, The Sex Spiral, and you'll be able to pre-order that. There's also an audio workbook. It's an audio series, a devotional series at my website. You can check that out as well. You can go to dustindaniels.org and click on store. Well, thank you for listening to God, Sex, and You. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Purity Pastor. Facebook at Dustin Daniels Radio. And you can also email me those questions. I would love to hear from you and possibly address some of the questions. You can go to dustindaniels.org. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God isn't just a lot of talk. It's living in God's power. And that power, my friend, is the very name. It's the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you walk worthy today as you cling to Jesus. I love you, and I look forward to our time again on Monday.